Hey, everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
And I'm George Affleck.
And you'd think we're going to talk about elections, BC, what happened in the oh my gosh, so long election here in our province, or federal politics or U.S. politics. But no, we're starting with the perp board.
On Unspun, coming up. I mean, we had our little pre-meeting, and I'm like, okay, well, keep it. Hold on.
I'm like, we're going to talk about this and this and this, and if we have time, we'll talk about the park board. And you're like, wait.
You seem kind of passionate about this. So what's the problem, Joe? Park board's great. You don't love park board. There's no
got
problem.
I got a little note because I'm on the mailing list, you know, because I tried to actually get before the park board to talk about how much I dislike, viscerally dislike, okay, the word is hate, the online booking situation at Kids Pool. First time in my life I did not get to swim at Kids Pool this year. Not for lack of trying. Couldn't get in. It was empty the whole time. But I did notice something good, which was the little bar that they've created up top behind Kids Pool. We'll get to that in a second. But George, Park Board has like informed us all that they're adding a new fee to all of our facilities across the board. A new fee, George.
You know, taxes, which is what that is, it's great when you get your money's worth. I'm concerned you like the park board incompetence for how long we've been doing this podcast, 271 episodes now, has been the bane of our existence since day one, along with the Speaker of the House.
Well, that's true. That was day one as well. Oh, my goodness.
But, you know, it's like, seriously, guys, you're going to raise the taxes for something that's already so dysfunctional, so inadequate, so under the low quality of
resourced. It's terrible. Where is all this money going? Where?
You didn't swim it once this year, you said?
Not one time. I used to swim every day from the day it opened to the day it closed. I would swim 1 mile every day. It was my it was for my mental health and wellness, right? It was the way I was like, okay.
By the way, and total intent of having parks in our city and facilities for the public is mental wellness. That's the number. It's health and mental wellness. It's like, what are you doing, park board?
What? Why is it allowed to continue? We've been doing this, as you mentioned, this podcast, this is season 7, right? We've been doing this a while. This is not like, I don't like it. You know, it's in 2020 when we were hit with a global pandemic and everything got shut down, and then summer came around and it was like, oh, we're going to move it to online and we're going to organize how close people can sit together and you have to be in a bot. Like, I got that. I was like, fine, I get it. I'm playing within the rules because I believe that there are people much smarter than I about this who are managing our public safety, even though it was outside and everything about managing COVID was just do it outside. And that's outside, that's a pool and it's outside. But this online booking, like, why can't we just go stand in line and go into the pool? And that's the argument I got back from the park board. Well, can you imagine coming all the way in from Coquitlam with your kids and having to stand in line? Yes. That's what we do. We plan ahead. Anyway, I'm going to lose my mind, George.
You say to the kids, sorry, we're not getting out of the pool. Let's go to the beach. It's right there.
Go to the beach. Right there for free. Right there. Can we talk about the beach thing now? Because I love the fact that you have been banging your collective drum for what's good at utilizing our beaches to the best of their opportunity. Talk about your idea for Spanish Banks years ago.
Years ago, and actually in English Bay would work too. And in fact, I was walking by English Bay the other day. There's a giant big sign that actually gets in your way as you walk, saying, no drinking, drinking's bad, bad drinking, no drinking on this beach, no drinking, nah, no drinking. Blah. But signs right above stupid. There's this, above the bathrooms in the West End, there's this giant space that's not used at all.
That's right.
Balcony to put in great little, you know, boutique, whatever, little pubs, that exactly what they have. If you go to Kits Pool, anybody, you'll see above the pool now, there's a little pop-up bar there. So I think it's only during the summer.
Batch. No, they're doing it for winter.
Are they?
They've brought in, I follow them on Instagram. This is brilliant. They have live music. It's all ages. If it's not raining, there's a patio to sit on. If it is raining, there are tents on the patio to sit on. It's heated. Cocktail. You can order a cocktail. You can order snacks. You can bring your own snacks.
So yeah, in the Spanish Banks, way at the other end, way at the other end of before you head up the hill to UBC, there's this giant parking lot, and I brought this up many times. And you need parking down there, and now they charge for parking. That's another addition that Park Board has added.
Another tax.
But there's this giant parking lot that easily they could just, you know, rate one floor up, or you know, or they could dig down a floor, still have that parking, but above they could have retail front facing the water. That could be temporary. It could be artist studios all along there, cafes, whatever. And above, they could have a beautiful patio with the most wonderful views of the mountains and the city. And they could make that pop up, whatever you want to do. And it would cost almost, like, it would fund itself. And it's not paving over anything green, you green grass-loving park people. It's literally fixing a parking lot and making it active. So I don't understand. The park board is just so... And, you know, now this whole ABC taking it away, I'm like, well, let's, okay, fine. That's why I kind of support getting rid of the park board, because, like, I don't see any success in my history in the city. I really don't. And I just want to be fixed.
All I've seen is our parks devolve, right? Yeah. The things that I used to, as a small child, look at and be like, wow.
And it's political. Oh, my God. It's completely political because
it is.
That it's gotten like this, not because
it's nuts. So. I mean, I'm sad because there's an entire generation of people who won't be able to experience even a little bit. And I mean, I come from very humble family. We were not just living paycheck to paycheck. It was a struggle for our family, but we made it fun. We made it cool. You know, we all loaded onto a bus and went to a park. We would spend so much time in Queen Elizabeth Park in that parking lot with the fountains as kids, just run around that fountain, run around it.
Signs in there, do not go in the water.
Oh my God. Like, what are we doing? Anyway, we could go on. And I just hope
they made the Langley pool, which I think is still there. Literally, it's the size of somebody's, you know, backroom pool. Every summer, every weekend, we'd be in that pool, buying our Pep shoes and our Cokes.
Oh my God, a Pep
and
shoe.
Our Twisters, and that would be, you know, I think this is how old I am. I think Pep shoes were 10 cents.
I remember when a Pep shoe. I think they were 25 cents for me, but sure. You could get a Coke and an Old Dutch salt and vinegar chips for like 75 cents.
Yeah.
Full bottle of Coke, bottle.
My allowance was 75 cents.
There you go.
All done.
Let's get to the election. The BC NDP now officially attempting, I guess, to form that majority government on a thread.
I think I said the recap that this kind of doesn't usually impact, but wow, this one.
Can you believe how close that was?
What was it? 47? I'm sorry, 47 votes now? I forget what the number. It's not very many.
It was tight.
Surrey, which we talked about. We said Surrey would be the place.
We did. We said Surrey and then Kelowna. And, you know, a couple of fringe MLAs in the Conservative Party of British Columbia did not get elected. So hopefully we never have to see people who come in with racial slurs as part of their platform. That was nuts. I found it interesting... that I'm not sure if you saw the stat. We didn't talk about it in our pre-meeting, but it is a new record of in the NDP caucus, the number of women. It's a new record for the number of women.
52 to 40. It's, I mean, overall, the house itself, the legislature itself is majority women. Like it's 50.
It is.
Women, right?
Yeah. I think we're going to do well with that. I think that's going to help.
Yeah,
I really do. I think that shift next, it'll be a shift generationally, I predict, and it'll get younger and younger because it just can't get older. But a dozen people in the NDP caucus who went sayonara before this election, right? Like there was a significant number of retirements and people who had said, you know, we're done here. What was your takeaway from the reaction to the recounts when it came to the conspiracy theorists?
I just hate that shit. You know, I mean, come on. I mean, I can see it in America because you saw that ballot box being burned in America. And I'm thinking, Why do they
Two
have
of
that?
them.
Why do they even have that? We rely on Canada Post. It's very hard to figure out where your ballots might be, put into every, you have to burn every mailbox to get to, a couple hundred. But
Right.
you've got a big giant box that says ballots. I don't know if that's a good idea. So I believe in our system, although I am curious about this take-home ballot situation. I just think optics, I don't think anything happened that was shifty, but perception, as you know, as a journalist, perception is reality, and that becomes a challenge. And that's where conspiracies just jump on us. Even though 100% we've been doing it forever, given the times that we live in now and the conspiracies and the fear, mostly because of America, and this just doesn't happen the way our systems are different up here.
Very. Like,
So
it's so easy to vote here compared to in the US. There's like, I told you, it took me 90 seconds.
yeah.
Here's my driver's license. Oh, hello. Here's your ballot. Go over there. Done. Check. Okay. Walk out. Voter, here's your sticker. Thanks for coming. That is not how it rolls on a voter roll in the United States. And I don't know about you. And we can talk more about it in a second, but the swing states, I'm so sick of talking about Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania and North Carolina and Georgia and Nevada. And like, oh my God, like
Imagine
it's
if you
going to come down to
imagine.
15 votes in a county in Wisconsin. It doesn't matter what the population. So let's,
Well, let's just do some.
when
We'll come back to federal if it be in Canada.
we,
We might as well get
okay,
our.
let's go.
Let's just go with this. We have our plans that we spent hours before the show. It's been days.
Who needs plans, George? I love going rogue with you. Okay, what do you think about what we're seeing
I do
there
think
then?
it's going to be a Kamala Harris blowout.
Do
I
you?
think 400. 50, whatever the numbers are for the, I just think it's going to be a massive blowout. That's my prediction. I think,
I checked on our friend Alan Lichtman. He's the
yes,
guy that predicts all them. You got his book. There you go.
got so too.
It's there. It's over there somewhere. That's your coffee. But Alan Lichtman is the man who has famously called every election since 1982 accurately, including the Trump presidency, when everybody was like, no. And he uses 13, what does he
Keys,
call them?
keys,
Yes,
keys.
keys. Sorry,
And it's
your
about
audio is
the.
a little weird.
How is it?
Yeah, you're not as loud as usual. I'm much louder.
That's
13
weird.
keys. So Alan Lichtman says that currently Kamala Harris has 8 of the 13. Donald Trump has 3 and one is still undetermined. He says he is anxious like everybody else on the planet, but literally on the planet. But he stands by his prediction that he made a month ago that he feels that Kamala Harris will win. I find it interesting, as so many of the pundits have been saying, that this election is very much a gender divide. Women will not, and what Donald Trump just said yesterday, and they're like, I'm going to do what women need, even if they don't want it or
It.
don't like it or whatever. I'm like, what are you?
That is, I think, the what they call the epitome of mansplaining. That is like put it up at a new level of mansplaining. I'm just gonna do all this for you. Just don't worry about it.
That's right. You don't worry your pretty little self. You just take off those shoes and get there back in the kitchen. Come on. And what do you make of Joe Biden? You know, obviously Kamala Harris does this unbelievable speech at the Ellipse, like right where Donald Trump had done the gathering on January 6th. It was quite something. I wasn't planning on watching this speech. I was busy doing a bunch of other stuff I had to go and do, but I flipped on the TV to sort of have it in the background while I was getting ready to go. And I stopped, I put things down, I walked back and I stood, you know, when you stand in front of the TV and you catch yourself going, wow, what I'm,
For the lineup.
this is something. Like, this is, she was powerful and on point. She said who she was, like all the things that people have said she wasn't doing. And there were 75,000 people there. And when she finished, George, you know what all those people did after the speech? They went home.
They didn't have a riot or anything.
No,
Beyonce
no.
didn't sing though, so I was disappointed in that. Was that one? That's criticism.
Then Joe Biden comes out with this, like, you know, because of the Trump rally. Oh, we haven't even talked about that. The rally at MSG on Sunday. Did you watch that?
Island of garbage. And then, but I'm confused by this. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Biden said that what he said was garbage. He didn't say the people were garbage, but yet everybody now is saying Biden said, and he said the people were garbage. I'm going, no, he didn't. And then he comes out and he apologizes for and I'm like, well, I heard you say it. What? Even
He
CNN?
said that the comedian who the Hinchcliffe, the guy that did said, there's a huge island of garbage floating in the ocean. Yeah, it's called Puerto Rico. Horrifyingly racist, terrible. Puerto Rico, Americans live in Puerto Rico. It is an American,
Kind of state.
yeah, it's kind of like a Commonwealth, kind of
It's
like
like a
in
territory.
Canadian terms, but those are US citizens. They vote. They vote. What are
Have
you
no
doing?
Congress.
Anyways, that aside, so Joe Biden called that comedian garbage, and now the Republicans have seized on it because they need to own the news cycle. That's the unspun piece of this, in my opinion, is they were like, oh, damn, she has got this on point. We need to own the news cycle. We need to shove her off that. So we're going to make it all about. But the thing that I find so funny that really none of the Democratic talking heads are doing is saying, I thought the whole point was that Joe was demented. Why are we focusing in on the things that Joe Biden is saying? Didn't you say that he was Sleepy Joe, demented Biden? Like, isn't that the whole Republican? No. Now it's like, how dare the president? And every time they mention the Biden-Harris presidency, which is what we're currently in and will be until January 6th of 2025, the Biden-Harris has become the Harris-Biden. It's very funny. I mean, it's, well, funny. Ha.
He really, it's unfortunate that Biden did that, even though he didn't do what they're saying he did, but they've managed to make it a reality. They've turned their fake news into news.
Yeah.
Renee, I was reporting it, and people are talking that Biden called people garbage, and he called a person a garbage, I guess, or what he was saying was garbage. But so I'm really confused why now the what would be the left-wing media in the US are reporting that he said this too. And I'm going, but I heard it, and it's not what I
Yeah.
heard.
It's not what
Anyway.
I heard.
It's
Play the
very
clip. Play the clip and point at it. But it's interesting when you listen to, because I do monitor Fox News. I find it
you do.
wild that there is news in the name of this network. It is just a cheerleading section, or you want to call it whatever you want to call it. If you want to be more political, you can say it's full propaganda, or you can just say it is what it is. It's bought nonstop PR for the right wing. It just is. And some can argue that watching
MSNBC.
MSNBC is very, 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 very far left, but they at least report on news over there. Like there's actual news over there. They're not just throwing out, like watching the Laura Ingraham hour or watching Jesse Waters. I watch it and I'm like, oh my God, people believe this guy. It's wild. Or her. Actually, I find that Laura Ingraham or Ingraham or however you pronounce it is tough to get through because there's just so little substance to what's being said. But there are 100 million Americans who watch that as though it is NBC or CBS or ABC News, right?
I think that on the ground, and whether or not all these celebrities endorsing Kamala and Hulk Hogan endorsing Trump,
Right.
whether that makes a difference. But I do think, contrary to the popular success of elections where young people don't vote, I do think young women will show up, and that will determine the vote, this election's outcome. And I
I
think they're
think you're right.
big time, and they are going to determine the outcome of this election. And I think people will be shocked by how many young women are going, hold on. And I
Yeah,
think they,
that's
like I
me right now that you could be messing with. It's not like somewhere down the line I might not be able to afford something. It's like people are bleeding out in emergency rooms in states where the abortion ban is complete. It's wild. It's really
I
wild.
hope polling is tracking that properly. I really don't.
You know what? I'm with you on that. The polling blows my mind. But then it also had Clinton up 20 points and she lost. So the polling was, I mean, we'll see. We're not that far away. We will.
I know. Well, what are you doing on election night? Just gonna be home?
I'm
How are you?
traveling to
Oh
the
no!
United States.
Oh whoa! What? Oh, I just know about
I
that.
am. I'm going in the morning.
Yeah, but you're in
I'm in
America,
a very blue
right?
neighborhood in a very blue state.
I just think I don't know what if it's a blowout. I don't think it matters what happens either way. Well, the only way that there won't be craziness will be if Trump wins, ironically.
Isn't that wild? Oh yeah. But you know that the one saving grace, and one pundit did say this and it gave me pause. It was actually somebody who had, I don't know, been involved in the Trump campaign at some level. It might have been Alyssa Farah Griffin or somebody like that who'd been there on January 6th and witnessed what Trump did, or in many people's opinion, didn't do. The one saving grace now is that he's not the president. So if there is unrest, there will be a way to manage that unrest in a way that doesn't wait until, you
Yeah.
know.
And by the way, to the caveat to what I just said, I don't mean there won't be craziness if he wins. There will be craziness if he wins.
There, and
But
there often is.
I
I mean,
mean,
when you start looking
specifically,
back at history in the United States, there's always been a push and a pull, and it, I mean, it will be. It'll be interesting to see what happens, and I've got my fingers crossed that cooler heads prevail and nothing crazy happens while I'm down there on my first vacation since 2019.
well, give us something to talk about, I guess.
I mean, I'll check in from there with you. I'm still going to do Unspun. I'm
Oh,
taking my
you'll still
computer.
be there on the Thursday. Okay.
Oh, I'm just going to rest a little bit and get a little sun on my face.
Nice. All right, let's bring
So
her back home. Let's bring her back home.
bring her back home.
Back there.
We're out of time, so people can follow George at George.
Out of time. How many? 10 minutes.
Oh, did we?
Was it 08, wasn't it? We started.
Oh my God, we do.
That's a fast half
I
hour.
had something over the bottom of my digital clock, and I thought it was a three.
We got two more topics.
Let's go. Let okay, so
Yeah, go ahead.
can we go? Do you want to go federal? Do we have okay,
Bring it
federal.
back
So,
home.
what do you make of former Premier of British Columbia Christy Clark positioning herself as a candidate for the leader of the federal Liberal Party?
I think it's not a surprising move. I think we've talked about it before. I had heard rumors that she was brushing up on her French. She wants to get back into politics. She's a lifetime politician, so she's been out in the wilderness for, since 2017. So she's looking for something to do. Whatever, she has a consultancy, whatever she does for some law firm, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So she's gunning. I don't think she has a chance of winning the leadership, but she will then run for MP in some safe riding. And if Liberals win, I would. She would get a nice cabinet post, and she probably would want foreign affairs or something fancy. And given that she was premier of a province, she should get a substantial cabinet post. So I think that's what she's gunning for. And that's the whole strategy of running for leadership is, sure, yeah, maybe if you get the gig, great. But generally, you're positioning yourself as part of the cabinet of the next government. And so I don't think she has a chance, but it's Trudeau's still surviving. Survived another week. The people who are contrary haven't really managed to pull it together with the people that matter within the party. So they have to do, there's a process they have to follow. They haven't started following that process. So Trudeau, on a logical level, should leave. To me, I just think it's over 10 years, it's just not, it's almost impossible. It's like really hard to can survive. And so you're better to have a transition of power, and make sure that if you love your political party, your main job, if you believe in what your party represents, should be this, to save that political party. So you have to sacrifice yourself, and so he needs to begin that process. And I've said he'll announce before Christmas. I heard Keith Baldry saying he thought in the new year. I think that would be too late. Because we're seeing Bloc Québécois, they're pushing hard now. This government could come down at any time, and then we're stuck with Trudeau, just like we were with his dad. It's like the history repeating itself.
It's wild.
It's so weird.
So when they the, there were 24 liberals who signed a letter that wanted Trudeau to step down, asking for the Prime Minister to step down as leader of the Liberal Party of Canada. Then there was the bringing together of cabinet to have that discussion, the quote unquote difficult discussion. It was quite a news day on CBC News Network. I was watching it sort of unfold live, and they did a great job of sort of, you know, the breathless, like, what is happening? We're waiting for this, and this might happen, and that might happen, and this could happen, and what about this? But we're waiting for that person, and this person said, I mean, you know, Mark Miller coming out and just being like, listen, we're not. That's not right. It was interesting. The politics of it was super interesting. Because, of course, nobody's going on camera to say, I want him gone, because that's not what happens. Well, but now the discussion, and this is the interesting part, do you think it would be a good idea and a fair idea for there to be a secret ballot within the caucus about whether or not Trudeau should step down?
It doesn't matter what process you go through. There's cracks in the armor. It's the beginning of the end. He's in denial. It's over. Right. It's time to move on, buddy. Right. Sorry.
But his ego won't let him?
Yeah, of course. And he's got enough strong people around him. And so, you know, and maybe he can win again. Maybe. You know, that's pretty thing. He's done the math. I mean, Biden was doing the same math, thinking, I still can win this. But are you the right guy? Even if you win, will you have the support of the people of Canada? I don't get that sense that people
are like, seem so certain that Pierre Poilievre will be the next prime minister of Canada. They're like so certain. I was listening to CKNW this morning and Mike Smith said as much. A year from now, Pierre Poilievre is likely the prime minister.
You kick a dog and win prime minister. I don't believe it. Yeah. I think this provincial election was telling. You had an electorate, I believe, that were just like, I'm not voting for these guys. And I didn't think they showed up. Just like what's going to happen in America. I think a lot of people try. Right guy. So they're just not telling you that. And I think that's a big chunk of the vote down there too. And I think that would be a polio thing too. I think people are just going to go, ugh, nah.
Yeah. You know, and I honestly, George, and back to U.S. politics, because it does crisscross. I think that that happened in B.C. I think that will happen federally. And I think that will happen in the United States. People who are in the echo chamber of whatever party, like, and this is not a slight against any particular party. Let's use, for example, people that were like, oh, yeah, I'm voting conservative B.C. for sure. Got in the booth and went, David Eby. And walked out, went, yeah, let's go, Rusta, whatever it is. Or Trump going in, I'm MAGA hat, wearing it all, hanging out with the people, flying the flags, woohoo, at the rallies, goes in, Kamala, right? Because nobody knows, because that's the new talking point on Fox News that Jesse Waters said last night, is that it is a woman's duty to vote the way her husband would. And he said, if my wife was to vote for Kamala Harris, it would be D-Day, divorce day. He said that on TV last night, and I just thought, wow. Wow. I feel bad for his wife.
What happened to the sanctity of secret ballots? Like, what? I mean, I don't know how Amanda voted in the last election, and I have no idea. I don't want to know, because I don't think she wants to tell me. I don't even know. She might have just destroyed her ballot. I don't know. Because it was such a tough election for women in this province, I think, especially.
Yeah.
This is not a criticism. I think I think that's what America's facing, and what a lot of people feel about Poilievre. And it's not a, I'm not just, that's what I'm, that's what, that's the vibe out there. And I think that this is a real challenge. And so, and I think in the UK, the conservative vote was way down. They were just like, meh.
I think the exhaustion factor is coming into play. We've been going through this political climate for a decade. And I remember, in the U.S. political realm, remember how exhausted we were with George W. Bush?
And now people look back and think,
oh my God, I'd take him twice and five times on Sunday. You know, his level of weird wasn't diabolical. But I don't think with one election, if your prediction comes to pass, which, you know, as a woman, I hope you're right. I don't know that fixes the problem that 80 million people will vote for Donald Trump. There's a problem in the U.S.
Well, but it's America's so strange when it comes to how they stick to their party.
Party.
They don't stray. They just get that. You know, it's different here. Although, you know, we do have that base. We still have a base vote. It's like, again, we always talk about that middle vote, that centrist vote. Where do they go? Where do they go? Where do they go?
Where do they go? I love the fact that Arnold Schwarzenegger stepped up, the former governor of California, Republican through and through. I've met him in person. he is a staunch Republican, and he's like, no, no. Yeah. The fact that it's, you know, Liz Cheney and Dick Cheney and all of that and the other Republicans who are just sort of tiptoeing out, I kind of feel like we might see a couple more of them. But the word that we're hearing from some of those insiders is that the Republican, within the Republican Party, there are people that are not publicly saying what they're going to do, and then they will be casting a ballot for Kamala Harris.
Did we talk about BC election night?
We did. Okay. Way back.
We were. Whew.
I know. Yeah. We never got to the speaker stuff. You got 15 seconds.
Well, we're in limb. We don't know. I think that's an ultimate challenge, right? That's
stay tuned to this space. Serious. Now it's been 30 minutes, George. So people are going to follow along on our Twitter. See, I need a vacation. It's time. I'm filling in for Mike Smith tomorrow, and then I'm off for 2 weeks other than on Unspun. Find me only here at Jody Vance on Twitter. You are at George
_
Affleck, at George _Affleck. This is Unspun Podcast. Share it with your friends. It's the apparently the very fastest 30 minutes in politics, taking the spin out of it. Love you, buddy. Talk to you later.
Bye. Have fun.